Hey everybody, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. It is officially 10:16, so I'm late, forgive me. Glad we're here. This is Geek Church at GalaxyCon 2019. If you're familiar with who I am, my name is Hector Mirai, or if you're not, my name is Hector Mirai. I am a pastor from Lumberton, North Carolina, but on the weekends I run a booth at Comic-Cons all over the Southeast called Faith and Fandom. It's a Bible study series on video games, superheroes, comic books, anime, manga, all those things. And I write a devotional book each year, kind of summing up a lot of the stuff that's been in the year before. So that it's a passion of mine. And I just my goal was to come to Comic-Cons in at least my area and be an encouraging presence to the faith community, but also to the people who aren't of the faith community that just feel rejected or pushed away or discouraged by the people in that community. So I wanted to be an encouragement to the people that are already in that place, but also be a light to the people that aren't. Because I don't know if you have seen it, but you know, it can, there's a lot of negative presence, especially at Comic-Con culture. We, you know, when we have street preachers or people judging you or being offensive, and it's hard to be in that place and do that. So the past few years at GalaxyCon, I've done a panel called Just Faith and Fandom, where we discuss spiritual themes in our entertainment, in our pop culture, and stuff like that, and ways that can be an encouragement. But that one has always been a very open, whatever you're at or where you're at, let's just discuss it. And Geek Church is straight up, we're going to have a church service. So disclaimer, full disclosure, if you're not aware of what we're about to do, you don't have to sing. That's not a thing you're required to. We're going to have a song just because I actually want to, but, and it's my panel, haha. we're going to do that, but beyond that, I'm going to deliver a message this morning, and feel free to talk, interject with me on it, but it is going to be based in the Bible. I'm a Christian, that is my faith, and if that's not where you are, please understand, I'm not telling you you have to change or you have to believe what I believe. I'm just going to share my heart with you this morning and hopefully be an encouragement to you. So if you are not a believer, if that is not where you're at, I'm hoping that what I share with you will be encouraging, because that's my goal. And this is the first year GalaxyCon or SuperCon has let us do this. They put us on the schedule last year to do this. But if you were a part of the planning process last year, everything got overbooked. All the panels, all the vendor space, everything got overbooked, and I had three panels, and they randomly picked one to get rid of, and it was Geek Church. So we're here this summer, and I'm excited for it. So more than anything, I'm excited y'all are here this morning, because I know it's 10:15 on a Sunday morning. Some of y'all are in cosplay, some of y'all are up late last night. Whatever you're at, I'm really appreciative that you're here, so I'm grateful for your time, and I do want to be a good respecter of your time with that as well. We're going to sing a song, and it's a worship song called Reckless Love, and for me, I've always enjoyed this song, and so if worship music's not your deal, you're totally cool just to chill, sit, do whatever you're comfortable with. It'll be over 3 minutes, and we can go on with our lives. Unless it's like the Hillsong version, and it's like 12 minutes. But there's a real sweet security lady outside in a yellow jacket who asks you to sing loud because she wants to hear it. Which can also be a flip side. There was a church service running at San Diego for 22 years, and they got not shut down but downgraded this year because their music was too loud the year before. Oh, so like they said that they could hear something in Hall H, which was directly below the church service, and said that the worship was too loud. So don't get me kicked out, but sing loud. That's the goal. Somewhere in the middle would be wonderful. But I thought this was an appropriate song to sing at a Comic-Con, because I don't know if you've heard this song before. The bridge of the song has some very superhero verbiage. It says, there's no wall you won't kick down to come after me, no lie you won't tear down, no shadow you won't light up. And like, I'm sitting in church, my worship team's leading or everything else, and I'm picturing like Green Lantern and like Hulk kicking down walls and stuff. So I threw some of those on the slides anyway, just for the fun of it. But you know, it's one of those things that of how however you see God, or however close or far or curious or, you know, skeptical you are of God, one of the things that I see so often in who God is that he loves us and he comes after us no matter where we're at. And that he wants us no matter where we're at. So that's what we're going to sing about. So if you want to stand, stand. If you don't, don't. And we're going to go ahead and sing this though.
Pray, and
If you'd like to join with me, join with me. But God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the chance to be here, to be at GalaxyCon, to gather with these folks that are sacrificing valuable exhibit floor time and photo op line and panel time and all the other things that are going on. And I'm grateful for who you are, for the way you love us, that your love is relentless, that you don't give up on us when we're failing, that you don't give up on us when we've gone astray. When people reject us, you don't reject us. So God, I just ask that you would help us to hear not my words this morning, but your heart, and that we would be able to grow and be encouraged because of what the love you've shown for us. And help us to meet encouragement to those who aren't here, and to strengthen them and make them know that they are loved where they are. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so if you just walked in, or if you're late, or you're unfamiliar. Okay, we're good. Yeah, we're good, bro. Thank you, man. But let's give our volunteers a round of applause, though, because they're super dope. This morning, we are going to be talking a little bit about comic books and The Walking Dead and the Bible, all these things together. And so here's the deal. We're going to be kind of hitting on The Walking Dead, but one, you don't have to know anything about The Walking Dead. Two, you don't have to care about The Walking Dead. And three, it's okay. I will refrain from any large spoilers, but it's just, it was kind of something that hit me this week when I was looking at just some of the stuff that's transpired in the last week or two. But if you're unfamiliar, The Walking Dead as a comic book ended just in the past few weeks. It made it to issue 193 and stopped. Now, seems like an odd place to stop number-wise, right? You think, you know, everybody's like, well, why not go to 200? Just because, you know, the symmetry of it or whatever else. But it was one of those things that people didn't see coming. Some people didn't care about it. And it was just one of those situations where people were caught off guard. The book ended super unexpectedly. How many of you, just for a show of hands, how many of you actually read the comic book of The Walking Dead? See, there's three of you, and that's why it ended. Okay, let's say, how many of you watched the show? How many of you stopped watching the show? See? It's one of those things. I was an early adopter of The Walking Dead. Not super early, but early-ish. I jumped in around issue 50. Before, you know, right around where they were before the show started. And, you know, it was one of those things. I went to my first ever Comic-Con. It was Heroes Con in Charlotte. And they had The Walking Dead Compendium, which was a big, fat 48-issue book of the first 48 issues of The Walking Dead, and I got it for $6. And that's like a $60, right? That's a good deal. So it's a $60 book that I got for $6. So I read it, and I was like, ooh, this is a good story. I want to keep reading. So I've been reading The Walking Dead since issue, like, around the mid-50s. But I started at the beginning, and I've purchased every issue since then. But it ended super unexpectedly, and with that, like, and I'll get into some more of that, how the ending of it was, but it ended with issue 193. If you're familiar with the TV show, they've also done a lot of dramatic changes in the last little bit with the TV show, but the book ended, and it was just something that no one really saw coming, and for me, I had actually stopped reading the book at issue 185. Like, I gave up. Like, I'd been reading since issue 50, and I gave up at 185 because I got tired of it. And here's why I got tired of it. Because it felt like they were doing the same story over and over and over again. Oh, look, a new group of people. Oh, look, we'll become the leaders. Oh, look, we destroyed it. It felt like it was the same story over and over again. Specifically, if you're familiar with the books or even the show, I got to the point where I realized this is the Alexandria story, or, you know, all over again. It felt like when you got to the issue 180-ish, they found a new community, And they were like, oh, look, let's automatically become the leaders. And, oh, look, it's going to get destroyed again. And I literally got to that point. I picked up issue 185, and I quit. Now, if I would have known that the story was ending, like, a few weeks later, I would have kept going. If I would have known there was an end in sight, if I would have known where this was going to stop, I would have kept going. But here's the deal. There was no sign at issue 185 that there was an end anywhere in sight. There was no way to look and think, I see how this story is about to play out. There was no way of knowing that. And for me personally, I was a little disappointed in myself. I was like, dang it, I gave up. And like, I run a comics podcast called The Pull List. And so I'm like on record. It's not like I can just like sneak back in there and pick up the last few issues and say I was reader the whole time. I'm on record for like weeks in a row saying, yeah, I give up. Like, it was real public knowledge that I quit. And there were people that listened to our comics podcast that were like, why are you a quitter? Keep going. And it was that situation where I gave up super early. And I don't know about you. Have you ever felt like you've been in a place in your life where it doesn't look like anything's going to change? It doesn't look like you're going to get any forward motion. It feels like you're stuck in the same place and all you want to do is quit. Have you ever been there? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's your spiritual walk. Maybe it's because you read The Walking Dead. But you're in this place where you feel like your life is not getting anywhere and you want to quit. So I want to share some scripture with you. This is some of the things to talk about. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, this directly applies to this, that I was rewarded if I would have kept reading. But I'm going to tell you this. I was so close to the end that of just reading that story that all it would have taken is a little bit more effort and I would have actually finished. But I quit a little too soon. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're in a place in your life where you feel like giving up, and listen, I know I don't want to be morbid or bleak, but some of y'all have been in a place where you feel like giving up on your life. If you're in that place, if you're in a place where you feel like you don't have anything left, you don't have anything to keep going for, please don't give up. Push forward. Scripture tells us that but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Now, that's just a straight up hustle and grind. That's effort. If you keep working, you will be rewarded. That's a concept. But even more so going on, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Going on, that's Paul wrote this to the Galatian church. He said, if you don't give up when you're doing the right things. By the way, if you're doing the wrong things, give up. If that doesn't apply if you're doing the wrong things. But he says, let us not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And for some of us, we're in this place where we feel like what we're doing matters. We feel like what we're doing is important, but we feel like nobody else cares. Or maybe we feel like we're not seeing the results we want. Maybe we're seeing that we're not getting the recognition we need. Maybe we're feeling like everyone else is a discouragement to the trajectory we're on or what we're doing. But I'm going to tell you this. Scripture teaches us that if we don't give up, if we press forward, we're going to do this. There's a young lady who was at our booth yesterday. Her name's Kimberly Courtmanch, something like that. I only know her Facebook name, so I don't know her real name. Or there's some of her name. But Kimberly, I met her at a conference for student ministry in somewhere in the depths of South Carolina. I don't know. The general redneck jungle that is my area. I met Kimberly there, and I was at this big ministry conference, and I was wearing a Doctor Who hat, and she turned around and said, I like your hat. I was like, oh, a nerd. And so I had one of my books in my backpack. And so I was like, oh, well, here, have a book. And we're at this big ministry conference. There's like 6,000 people. And she finds the one nerd in the group, says, I like your hat. I give her a book. And like, she becomes like a lifelong supporter from that point. there were times like she would hit me up, or like I made a post or something, and like I feel like I'm gonna stop doing this, and she hit me up and railed me. She's like, "You do not quit. This is important." And like I have that conversation saved, and like she shows up at my booth every year, at least somewhere, to say, "Keep going." She's one of those people that encourage me to keep going in what I'm doing because it reminds me it matters. And here's the deal. You could be in a crowd of people. That's one of the things that's so hard about Comic-Cons as an artist or as a vendor or even in the position I'm in is that you literally spend days of people judging you. Because every time someone walks by your booth, whether they're kind about it or not, they judge you and your work in about a two-second window. They're like, "Ew." And that's it. And being what I do, I get that a lot more often than others. And so it can be really discouraging. And you can spend a weekend of, like, I don't know, what, there's 30,000 people here this weekend, roughly? I think that's the projection. You can have 30,000 people walk by you and go, "Ew." And it's like, you're like, by the end of the weekend, you're like, "I want to quit." But I'm going to tell you this. Don't give up. Wherever you're at in your life, whatever you're pursuing, whatever it is that you feel that you should be doing in your life, don't give up. Because I'm going to tell you this, Scripture teaches us if we don't give up, we will be rewarded at the proper time. Now, here's the thing, though. It's the proper time. Not when you want it to be. It might not look at the right time that you want it to be. I've been doing this for going on 7 years. Writing books, being at cons, doing panel stuff. Like, I've been doing this for 7 years. And throughout that time, I've wanted to give up plenty of times, but it wasn't the proper time. I feel really bad for the folks that are next to me at the booth this weekend, because all of my friends and all the people that actually have supported me on this journey, they've walked up to me this week and said, "How was San Diego?" So we all are in here. But like the people that are next to me in my booth have heard that over and over again, and they're really excited about it because out of no effort of my own, I ended up at San Diego and speaking last week. I've been doing this for 7 years, and it did not look super successful. It did not look like I was, like, taking the world by storm or, you know, I could pay my mortgage or anything with what I'm doing. It didn't look like that, but then a group of people in California that read our books said, "We think what you're doing is important. We want to fly you out here, put you up, and get you on panels in San Diego."
Awesome.
Yeah, and right? So this was that thing, like, I thought back to wanting to quit and that young lady saying, "Don't you quit," and thinking, like, honestly, when I sat there in San Diego, I was like, "Oh, so this is a proper time." I had that moment of, like, you know, not that it's over, not that I can quit, although once I got my professional badge from San Diego, I'm like, "I'm done, I'm out." It's over. I don't want it to go downhill, so I'm just going to get off. But it says we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. So I encourage you, don't give up. But also with this, James 1:4 says this: "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." If you're going through a struggle right now, if you're going through something hard in your life right now, please understand your pain, your stuff you're going through, your struggle, your frustration, your suffering, it will make you stronger and it will make you better prepared for what's coming next. And it's not meant as a punishment. It's meant to make you better equipped to be able to face what comes next. So I want to encourage you, please, wherever you're at, don't give up, or you're going to end up like me with The Walking Dead and quitting like six issues too early. But here's the thing on the what was with that, with the way it ended, they really Rickrolled everybody pretty hard. Especially with, you know, it's a Walking Dead or a Rick Roll. Oh, okay, cool. It's a Rick Roll. But they Rick Rolled it pretty hard because they made sure people didn't know the end was coming. If you work in a comic book industry or you're familiar with what they do, you have to, as a comic book shop, you have to order books weeks and months ahead of time. So they give you a solicit to say, "This is what next month's books will be." So comic book shops got solicits for comic books that didn't exist. They wanted to straight fool everybody. So there were solicits for issue 194. There were solicits for issue 195 and solicits for issue 196. They said, "This is the first appearance of Sheriff." I forgot what his name is. What's his name? Yeah. There was the first appearance of that guy. You see somebody impaled by Michonne's sword, and then the cover from issue 196 had two girls standing by a funeral. And so you're like, what's happening? But they literally put fake solicits out to keep people reading. Or so that people wouldn't say, oh, the end is coming, get ready. Because what's everybody do when you know the end is coming? You bandwagon, you buy it up, you jump on it. And they didn't want that. They wanted it to end, because that's a very Robert Kirkman thing to do. Robert Kirkman's like to destroy things and kill people randomly. And that was a very thing way of him to do it. So the thing is, no one knew it was coming. I have friends that run comic book shops. And the Tuesday before this book came out, the books arrived in their shops. And they're like, why is this book so thick? And then among comic book retailers, you started hearing the buzz, it's over. And like people start, and then about like 5 o'clock on Tuesday, it was confirmed the book is ending tomorrow. And so everybody and their mom tried to go out and get it, and it was gone. Because they didn't know what was happening next. I want to tell you this one and encourage you, keep going in what you're doing, because straight up, you don't know what's about to happen. You don't know when something's about to end. You don't know when something's about to begin. So often we live in confidence that we have continual opportunities. But I want to tell you, you might not, and I'm not saying this is like a morbid thing, but you don't know what negative is around the corner, and you don't know what positive around the corner. We need to live with the intention to keep going, because we don't exactly know how things will play out. There are a lot of people who had, like me, who had tapered off, who would have kept going if they knew the end was coming. But realistically, Robert Kirkman wanted to reward the people that never stopped. And he wanted to reward that. So I would encourage you, keep going, because you don't know what's up next. There's a lot up here, so roll with it. James 4:13 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city, or we'll go this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Now, just to put it out, long story short, we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what's up. So I want to encourage you, live your life fully and with intention, and don't give up thinking you're going to have more opportunities later. Because I had no idea San Diego was coming. Because I booked this show like 6 or 9 months ago. I had 30 hours between landing from San Diego and walking in here. If I would have known I was going to San Diego, I probably wouldn't have done this show. I'm glad I did. But it was like, I'm tired. I seriously want to take a nap. But I didn't know what was coming. But on the flip side, I don't know what else is coming. The day I've been on the road almost the whole month of July. The day I left to start being on the road for July, as I spoke at a camp, and I had three cons in a row. The day I left, everything worked at my house. I've got a wife and three kids. The day I left, everything worked at my house. The day I left, my AC went out. My washing machine broke. And my stove broke. So my wife's like, everything's falling apart. And sending me messages and letting me know. It's like, I didn't know to prepare for that. I straight up didn't know. My father passed away a few years back. And we ended up with a little bit of money and an inheritance from his life. And we paid our bills with what we got from it and all these things. But my wife set aside, she's like, because one day I want to start a comic book shop. More than just a place to buy comics, I want to have a little bubble of community for geek culture in my region. It's a goal of mine. I grew up in a little small town called Lumberton, and we had the dopest little comic book shop downtown, and my mom would drop me off when it opened and pick me up when it closed. And that's, you know, I grew up with that, and I want that kind of little spot. So when we got our inheritance, my wife said, all right, we're setting this money aside for you to get your comic book shop. And there's a GameStop in my town. And I always said, there's an annoying shoe store beside our GameStop. I'm like, why are you there? And I was like, that spot right beside GameStop, I want that spot. Because I knew that's a good spot to open a comic book shop. You've got, you know, the synergy between the two, midnight releases, all those things. I was like, it's going to be a great spot. So I had money, I had an idea of where I wanted it. And then 6 months before, the shoe store went out of business. Open door, ready to go. 6 months before that happened, our town got hit by a second flood and hurricane. My house got real damaged. All my money from my comic book shop went into repairing my home. I was already eyeballing that. I have shelves in storage ready to go to do the shop. And it's like, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know what was coming. So I just want to tell you this. Keep going and don't give up, but also be aware to make the most of the time that you have right now, because you don't know what's happening. And that's not like a boogeyman statement. That's like, ooh, you better do it. And that's not that. It's saying be aware of your time and your life, because you don't know what you have coming next. Keep pushing. Keep going with what you're doing. I love this statement when Jesus was speaking. He said this. You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. You know, there was a specific context to this. You can check it out in John 13. But I feel like a lot of times the things that frustrate us, the things that scare us, the things that hurt us, he's saying, look, you don't know what's happening right now, but you will understand later. If you're in a place where you're struggling, you're hurting, you're concerned, you're scared right now, please don't freak out and give up because you don't understand how it's going to work out right now. Because you will understand, and it's okay to be in a place where you don't know everything. It's okay to be in a place where you don't know all the answers. Just keep going if you know you're in the right place. And then one other verse that really encouraged me and helped me out with this idea is of when I don't know what's going. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained for me, written in your book before one of them came to be. So David's talking. He's talking about God. He says, look, you wrote every day of my life is in a book before you, before I took breath. You know my story. You know how it's going to end. You know what's going to happen. You actually know this. If you can be in a place where you have faith in God and you trust that he knows how your story will end, it's a lot easier to trust him through the process. There are people that are Walking Dead fans that have trusted Robert Kirkman to give them a story worth reading. Deb over here is one of the biggest Walking Dead fans I know in the world. Like, probably the biggest that I personally know. You've trusted this whole process, haven't you? You trust the show. You trust the books. She buys into it. She's a believer in these things. For us, we need to be able to trust that if God actually knows what's happening in our lives, we can trust him with the hard times, with the outcome, because we know what it's going to actually look like. And that who is it? I base my comic book reading on who the writer is. I could care less about the art. If it's pretty, it's pretty. But I will jump on and off of a book depending on the writer. If it's Tom King, I'm probably going to read it. If it's Jeff Loeb, I'm probably going to read it. I have writers, you know, that I just really enjoy, and I enjoy the stories they bring, and I trust them to do this. There's been a whole big debacle with Tom King's Batman run lately, because Tom King has had a 100-issue story plan for Batman for about 4 years. Batman, starting with Batman Rebirth, Tom King has been writing this story. They're at issue 75 or 6. Somebody else know? Okay, cool. It's just me. They're in the mid-70s, and people are losing faith in his writing. Because he did this weird thing where at a climax of a story, they had 7 or 8 issues of just nightmares. Of Batman having, like, evil-induced nightmares. And people got really bored with it. And so DC responded by taking him off of Batman 15 issues early and having him put what he was going to do in a separate book. They said, we don't want what you're doing to be the main book anymore. Move it. They know he had a 100-issue story, and they said, okay, we've lost faith in your ability to keep this going. We're going to give it to somebody else. For us, if we can, you know, I believe that his story would have played out well, but for us, if we can trust the author of our story, we can know that, yeah, this might be a really terrible chapter, but the story's going to work out well. There are parts of The Walking Dead that were better. There are parts of Batman's story with Tom King that were better. But I believed at the end of the story, I'm going to be satisfied with where the story goes because I know who's writing it. If you can put your faith that you can trust God as the author of your story, if you're in a really bad chapter, please understand it will get better. This one yesterday I had a really good day, but I had two really terrible moments. And I got back to my hotel last night like, this is a sucky day. Like, I was all discouraged and unhappy and everything. And I realistically, somebody had to put me in check. Like, you had two bad moments, dude. Shut up. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I had two bad moments that lasted all of 43 seconds. And it put me in a foul mood. Listen, if you can trust the author of your story, please understand it will turn out well. It may not turn out how you expect, but he is a good author. And he knows what he's doing in your life. So I just want to encourage you with that. Be confident in that. Because here's the thing. You aren't supposed to read this. Don't worry. I know it's teeny tiny. I just want you to see it exists. And the back of the last issue of The Walking Dead, there's this. It is a letter from Robert Kirkman telling all the fans goodbye and that it's really over. The thing is, it is ended on issue 193. There, he tells the story that in this, the story was originally going to end at 72. They got to the story of Alexandria, and he realized, oh, this is the end. The end that they had planned, they made it to issue 72 and realized, oh, this is where I was going to end the story. That means if you're remotely familiar with The Walking Dead, that means it would have ended before Negan. That means it would have ended, right? Right, okay. Gotta check Deb. That means it would have ended before Negan. That means it would have ended before a lot of the characters that have become the most popular things in the story. Some of the biggest moments in the entire 193 story arc happened after what was initially going to be the end of the story. But he got to the Alexandria arc and said, I'm not done. And he added story, which is, remember I told you, I wanted to quit reading because when we got to issue 180, it felt like Alexandria again. That was on purpose because he was bringing it back full circle to where it was originally going to end. There's some of us, you might be looking at your life right now and thinking, this looks like it's over. But if you can actually trust that God has a plan for your life, understand what you might think is the end is just a point where he's about to expand the story. You might not like this chapter. You might not like what it's going or where it's going. But I'm going to tell you this. Kirkman had a plan. And when he saw that that plan didn't actually do everything he wanted, he made that plan expand and be better. I'm going to tell you this. If you get to a place where you feel like God has given up on you or that the people in your life have abandoned you or any of these things, please understand God is a good author, and he wants to have a good story in your life. And here's some scripture with that, just to say it. You know, it's an overplayed scripture. It's probably knitted on your grandma's pillow somewhere in her house. But it's the truth. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Please understand that if you've been in a place where you're struggling to think you have purpose, or that you have a direction in your life, God has a good plan for you. I stand, you know, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know your walk. And I'm not telling you that you have to believe this, but I'm telling you this. I believe it, that God has a plan for you, and I believe that he loves you, and I believe that he has plans and purpose for you. Last verse I want to share with you is this. Is John 10:10. It's one of my favorite verses. Jesus is talking about the whole concept of being a shepherd, and he says that the bad shepherds or the thieves, they come in a certain way. But he goes on to talk about Satan, and this says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, y'all, there's a lot of things in our life that come to steal, that come to kill, and that come to destroy different aspects in our lives. Sometimes they're things we bring into our own lives. Sometimes they're things that are forced on us. Sometimes they're things that are discouraging to us that just happen. Like my house getting flooded, stole some joy. Some stuff got destroyed. I had a friend that had given me some comic books to hold on to for him. And he hit me up at HeroesCon. He's like, hey, you still got my comic books? I'm like, they're on the bottom shelf of my comic book rack. And it's underwater. And so, like, straight up, I had to, like, look him in the eye a month ago and say, sorry, dude. Most of your comic books are gone. Because I lost a lot of comic books, too. But it's just one of those things. There's a lot that comes to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. And I'm telling you this, that's not God. The things that come into your life that steal, that kill, that destroy, that's the enemy. That's your opposition. That's evil. That's the stuff in this world that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God, Jesus, they come that you would have life and have it to the full. I have three little girls, and I love them implicitly with all my heart. And is that the right word? Implicitly? Does that sound a good word? Okay, oh, it sounded good. Roll with it. I love them with all my heart, and for me, doing stuff for them matters way more than doing stuff for me. When I came out to this con, you know, when I started doing cons, meeting celebrities was a big deal. Like, it was a really big deal to me. I was like, my first show I went to was at a Heroes Con like 10 years ago to meet Mick Foley. Now I've walked past Mick Foley like every show for like 6 months, and I'm like, hey. It doesn't matter. Like, when I came to the show this weekend, there was nobody I had to meet. Just, there was nobody. I didn't care. There's lots of cool people I love. There's nobody I had to meet. I walked by Stanley from The Office, and he didn't have a line. And I was like, Stanley should have a line. So I got a photo with Stanley because nobody was at Stanley's booth. I love The Office, but I didn't have to have a photo. I went to meet Sean Schimmel, that's Goku. I went to meet him because one of the guys in my church wanted a poster signed by Goku. And it was, you know, I went and met him when I did that. I didn't have to have that. But the one person that was on my list that I had to go meet, not for me, but was for my kids, I had to go meet Justin, yeah, Deku from My Hero Academia. My kids love My Hero Academia. And for me, I didn't have to meet any celebrity for me, but I had to meet him for them. And he signed a photo for them that he wrote, my kids are Carmen, Bella, and Rosa. He wrote, Carmen, Bella, and Rosa, you can all become heroes. Plus Ultra. And dude, I got all weepy. just because I, like, right then, I could see my kids' faces about how pumped they were going to be about it. How excited they were going to be about it. And I wanted the best for them. I didn't care what I got out of the situation. I just wanted to be at my booth, come do some panels, eat some sushi while I'm in Raleigh. And that was my goals. But I wanted the best for my kids. And I'm going to tell you this. This verse, God wants the best for his children, and God is a way better father than I am. If I get this excited about doing something to bless my children, please understand God is way more excited to love you, bless you, and if you are far, he wants to bring you home. And I just encourage you, wherever you're at, please know, don't give up. You might not know what's coming, but that doesn't make it a bad thing if you can trust who's actually telling your story. And please know that there's a purpose in this to do good for you and not bad. And that's really what I wanted to share with you today. Don't give up. You have an author who's telling a good story, and if you believe, if you can find the faith to trust him in that, he's going to encourage you in that. And if you find an issue of 193 of Walking Dead, you should probably buy it. We're going to dismiss out of here. I want to go ahead and close, but just want to say thank you for being here again. It's a Sunday morning. There's a lot of other stuff, and you could have been anywhere, so thank you for being here. If you want to talk or anything, I'll be at booth A2, which is on the back wall to the left of K13 pillar. So if you see the K13, I'm to the left of that on the back wall behind Neil Adams. So if you have any questions, I've got some business cards up here as well. It's got our stuff for our books and our contact information. So I just want to say thank you. I'm going to pray to close, if that's cool, and we'll get out of here. Father, I thank you so much for loving us. And please help us to trust that you actually do care and you have a plan for us. Because sometimes, God, it can be so, the stuff in this world can be so overwhelming and so discouraging. And so many people can make us feel rejected and unwanted. But God, help us to trust that even the bad chapters are leading towards a good ending. Help us to trust that the hard times are leading towards something good, and not that we trust just that things will work out, but we'll trust that you'll work them out because you actually love us and you're a good father. In Christ's name, amen. Thank y'all for being here this morning. And if you liked it, shoot GalaxyCon an email and tell them. If you didn't like it, be quiet. I'm just kidding. You be free speech, but, you know, work with me. Thank y'all.